Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You got Luke Morrow in for the OG John Lopez on this Monday. I think it's because Lopez doesn't like basketball. I mean, he didn't say that, but I mean, what else am I supposed to deduce from him not being here on this very momentous basketball day? We got a new NBA champion. Congratulations to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Only the 4th NBA player to win regular season MVP, win the scoring title and scoring the most points in the regular season, and win finals MVP. For doing that, so that we had that. And then also, hey, the Houston Rockets have a new big-time player, new star-level player. Have you heard of one Kevin Durant? Played at University of Texas back in the day.
Oh, that guy. Yeah,
kind of familiar with him.
Yeah, did some things. That he is now a Houston Rocket. So John Lopez doesn't care about any of that. That is the official line of In the Loop right now. I'm Reginald Atula. That's Figgy Fig. We clearly care about these things. We came to work today. And you, 713-572-4610, your opinions. Where do the Rockets go from here, right? I think we broke down very clearly how we feel great about the actual trade itself. Like the cost that was required to bring Kevin Durant here was one that was very far from exorbitant. In fact, shout out to Brian Windhorst. I'll give him his praise because you remember that one time where he was like, what is Utah? Why would they do that? And very soon thereafter, we find out that, oh, yeah, they're trading away Rudy Gobert for 4 first-round picks, something I still haven't gotten over. He did it again, and I referenced this a few times, and I didn't know if I was doing too much, but apparently no, because Brian Windhorst did say a couple weeks ago that he wouldn't be surprised if the real thing that the Suns get out of the Kevin Durant trade is freedom. And that's what it was. They got off of his deal, although they did add some deals that are longer, right? Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green. However, they got off of Kevin Durant at this point. We have the good fortune of having him here. But where do you go from here, right? Do you extend him? Because he is an expiring contract this year. Is that something you feel comfortable with? Some people were like, they didn't want him except with, you know, not having to give up too much is cool. But I know some people didn't want him if you were going to have to extend him and sign him to a long-term deal and pay him a lot of money. How do you feel about that portion of this before we even move forward?
It's kind of tough for me. I mean, you didn't give up a ton, so you don't have to feel like you need to invest long-term. But I do think you need more than 1 year of Kevin Durant. The only problem is you'd be paying him until, he's 40, and who knows what that looks like. Right now, I feel comfortable and confident in Durant, but what about 3 years from now? So anyways, I think you have to do it. I think it's the cost of the deal of the business here that if you're going to make a move like this, keep him around for a few more years. But yeah, you know, and then you're paying a guy pretty good money into their 40s, and Durant obviously already had the leg injuries a few years ago. How well does he age moving forward? We'll see. But yeah, I think you do have to give him some sort of extension.
Well, I think so as well. Like, I could easily see them. I think that if you wanted to treat this as simply a expiring deal, you could. I think that what he can come in and offer you is a level of, I think we talked about the consolidation that is there a little bit. Your rotation, I think, looks a little bit more clear than it previously had. Even as I don't know that you're going to have to play him all of the minutes that maybe you think. And I think that that opens up more opportunity. Well, with Dylan Brooks going, I think Jabari Smith Jr., first and foremost, is going to get a lot more minutes starting as he probably should, which will hopefully unlock him a little bit better. I think Tari Eason will get a lot more minutes to be, you know, if you size down a little bit, to have a guy on the perimeter as a lockdown defender, especially losing what Dylan Brooks gives you. That's helpful. Kent Whitmore is an interesting one. Maybe does he get more minutes in this is a question that I have with all of this as well. Like, is he going to get more involved? Is he have the opportunity to, you know, maybe find a role that is more consistent? Because if I'm counting it, Cam Whitmore is like number 9 when it comes to your rotation. And that's as it stands right now, right? If I'm listing them off, Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, Kevin Durant, clearly, Jabari Smith Jr., Alperen Şengün, that's your starting 5. The guys that I know are going to be in your rotation, Tari Eason, Reed Shepard, and Steven Adams. Those guys are going to be in your rotation. Outside of that, Cam Whitmore feels like he's the next guy in that space. And do we feel great about him getting burned?
No, I wouldn't say I feel great. I'm not a big Cam guy. I just don't think he's a great fit for what they're trying to do here. I think he'll have the opportunity because, as you just laid out, I mean, there is an opportunity. And I think that will be decided maybe more so in the offseason or the preseason as you go into the regular season, see who can take a hold of that spot or who can elevate their minutes and opportunities. But I just don't think Cam Whitmore fits what the Rockets are trying to do. I think he doesn't work well enough within the system offensively, and I want to see more effort-wise on the other end of the floor too. So I'm just not a Cam guy. But I think the opportunity will be there for him to prove me wrong, or maybe even the coaching staff. You know, it seemed like him and Ime had butt heads this past year. So I think there's an opportunity. I just don't think this is the right opportunity for him here in Houston.
I don't entirely disagree, but you said a phrase that got me thinking, right? Because we're talking about how you move forward. Like, what is the next thing? Are they even done is a question that I think is worth asking. But you said he doesn't fit in what the Rockets are trying to do offensively. And my question is, what actually is that? Because last year, their offensive identity is we get offensive rebounds, which is a concession of missing the shot on the front end.
Yeah.
What does this Rockets team look like now you have Kevin Durant? Because that's one of the things that people were talking about going forward. And I think that, again, that's something that even if you don't figure that out, this is the right decision. A guy that you can hand the ball to in those closing moments or what have you, or just even in an instance where things are kind of stagnating, hey, go get something, and he can do that. He's still one of, if not the best jump shooters in the league right now. He shot 43% from three last year.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. He shot 43% from three-point last year. Like, that is still going to be incredibly helpful for a team that did not shoot threes very well, did not shoot them very often, and just was not very good at it to be all the way around. However, without Dylan Brooks, you don't have a lot of good guys that are spacers and jump shooters. Obviously, Kevin Durant will be his own thing, but I think he already draws a level of attention. Now, he does draw some gravity, which will help. Mm-hmm. But who else do you have out there as shooters? Jabari might be that if you can get him more confident and shooting a lot like what he came into the league as. But that could be a portion of this where you go, is that a place where you add another player? Can Cam step into a role like that? Do you like? We were just talking to our guy Colin, who was producing the morning show this morning, and he was like, he's still interested in the Cam Johnson acquisition. Would you be looking at a possible addition on the outside for this Rockets team?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what they need to do. I don't think this is the be all end all in the sense of you're ready to roll into the season now. I think they still need to add something at the guard position, most notably the shooting. They don't have you just lost Dylan Brooks, who was your top shooter, and obviously Durant helps to fill that, but you still, I think, need to surround him with some more shooters. And then that goes along with what I said earlier that I think we saw play out specifically in the NBA Finals, was just the ball handling. And I know eventually, we talked about this off air, but you know, Reed Sheppard is eventually going to have to be given an opportunity. But if you think you're going to be a championship contender and they have the second best odds to do so currently for next year, I don't know if I want to put a lot of the eggs in the Reed Sheppard basket to kind of prove himself along the way, as opposed to having a more experienced guy that you can trust a little bit more in those big spots, most notably once you're in the playoffs. So I know one name that's been thrown around a lot that I do kind of like is Tyus Jones, who is a veteran, has been in the league for about a decade, did play with Durant, and he's shot over 40% from beyond the arc each of the last 2 years. Very good three-point shooter and a veteran ball handler. And I think that's what the Rockets still need to bolster at this point, is that guard position, most notably guys that can shoot it or a guy that can shoot it, and then just having another experienced ball handler for the playoffs, because we fully anticipate this team, of course, being in the playoffs and competing for a championship. And then you mentioned Cam Johnson. That's another name I hear a lot of people bringing up, and I even hear rumors of, to get a Cam Johnson, would you trade a Jabari Smith? And I don't know if I would go that far, but those are a couple of the names that I've heard thrown around of potential options. But that's the type of player I want. I want a shooter and another ball handler that can help this team, the shooting throughout the stretch and the ball handling in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I hear you on that. I'm really bought into the idea that they're going to make Reed Sheppard that backup point guard and really allow him to run the bench mob. I'm still intrigued to see exactly how well it works, but I can never get rid of the feeling that I had that first summer league that he played in last year to be fair, I was not as insightful, and I had not watched nearly as much of him at Kentucky as I should have, because I was like, oh, he can handle the ball for real. Like, he can be that guy. The question I had for him all rookie year was, can he find the right mix and the right meld of getting other people involved but finding your own shot? That's such a hard and difficult thing to do as a pro. He started feeling it a little bit, and I think now he just needs the room to run. Can he play the defense that's necessary to fit in Ime Udoka's system? That's a question that I'm here to, I'm interested to see. But I think if he's the backup point guard, he doesn't play, he doesn't need to play as much with Fred VanVleet, which I think that was the big issue, having two smaller guys on the court at the same time. If he is the point guard and then you were able to put other size around him where your shooting guard is not small as well, I think that it's more viable for him to be able to play the defense because he's smart. He's got good hands. He gets into people's pockets. He at least positions himself pretty well, and you can hide him a little bit better if there's a larger context around him. So I do feel better about that, which coming back to the idea of adding a guard, I like a guard for shooting or what have you, and maybe a guy that can add a little bit more. And that's where a name like Quentin Grimes gets really interesting to me if you're able to get him at the right number. I know some people are talking about the possibility of like a Derek White who might be a cast-off, a cost cast-off from the Boston Celtics as they're trying to, you know, get themselves back under the second apron and have less of that, the salary or the luxury tax on them. Another name that's out there that I found interesting was Nickeil Alexander-Walker because I really like him. I just wonder what the cost will be because the mechanism that you'd have to do, and this is getting real in the basketball weeds, is the mid-level exception, I think, that you would have if memory serves me correctly. I was looking at it, and I think that somebody said that the Rockets rather would have a $14.1 million mid-level exception, which would allow them to spend that $14.1 million outside of the salary cap circumstances. And I'm looking at those three guys I talked about, and I don't know if any of them would fit in, but I wonder if Kevin Durant choosing to be here and this team looking like a contender might coerce a player like one of these guys to want to be a part of it and fit in for $14 million a year as opposed to maybe a 20 that they might be, maybe not Quentin, operating on 20, but one of these guys might be more inclined to, command as opposed to 14. But does the opportunity to play on a team that looks like they're going somewhere entice somebody? Because if you add the shooting in that way, then I think you really don't have any misses. Like maybe you still look for a guy that can drive in the way that Jalen gave you and that you don't have, because I don't think you have that nearly as well. But the spot up shooting, I think if you add a little bit more of that, you're in a place where I'm willing to put you into the third, into like the Western Conference Finals right off the jump.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a fair. I think that's a good point about the money. It depends on the priority for the athlete. But yeah, if you come to Houston, not only do you get to play with a great player in Durant, you get to play with a talented young roster. You get to play for a good coach. And you get to play for a team that has the second best odds to compete for a championship next year. So there's a lot of things you could sell a guy on. I would love Derek White. That would be a good fit. If they can make that happen, I think that would be great. But just to put it in perspective, Derek White is making $17.5 million, I think, was the contract per year. Maybe it's more than that. But my point being, a player of that caliber, like, it's not too much of a pay cut, and then you get to come play with one of the better teams and now all of the NBA on paper. So hopefully that's the appeal of getting that star in Durant, that other guys will want to play with him and want to play for a team like this. I would have said that already with the way that the Rockets have built this culture and what they looked like last year, but especially now when you add Durant. But that's the last missing piece, is somebody along those lines. Derek White, I think, would be great. Like I said, I like the idea of a Tyus Jones, somebody there that can provide some shooting and some more ball handling. And then I feel like all the quote-unquote holes are filled. You got all the pieces on this roster that you need.
Pieces, yes. I think that this brings up, and we have just enough time to mention this, again, something that I think had been neglected is maybe too strong of a word, but had not been talked about as much as it probably should, which is this Ime Udoka coaching staff is a very good one. But the reason why I do not use the word elite is it still feels like the offense has not been robust enough. And especially if we're going to talk about this team as a contender, these things get exposed the deeper and deeper you go into the playoffs. And I think it's fair to acknowledge that, the pieces did not necessarily fit together all the way perfectly in order to, roll out an offense that you would go, that you'd be super proud of. But as you did make a big splash, and as I think you start looking at situating the roster in a way where you have more talented pieces to do things offensively, there's more of an onus on Ime and all of his assistants to develop an offense that is more complex than the relatively simple offense that we saw last year. Like, that is going to be something I'm very intrigued to see early on in the season, is what are they trying to achieve and what are they trying to get to? And hopefully they don't lean on simply, we have a guy that can get his shot on his own. Like, that's a great thing to have to fall back on in big moments. In fact, we kind of saw that to some degree during the playoffs with Mark Daigneault and the Thunder, where at times they were really just leaning on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams. Can you guys get to your spot and knock down shots? And we saw how that got a little problematic for them extending a series in the finals that they probably should have been able to put away earlier.
Yeah, I think for Durant, he should be kind of like the closer, where when you need that basket or in the fourth quarter, right, then you go to him. And I know he was the best player in isolation this past year, but I'm with you in the terms of you still need that team approach and a certain style. And then come fourth quarter or come, you know, clutch minutes or just needing a basket, that's when you turn to Durant, let him do his thing. But you can't rely. By the way, and this was one of my concerns all along, is that we've never had a team be led to an NBA championship by somebody this age or older. So you still can't rely specifically on Durant. He needs to be just part of the team and that closer in the fourth quarter. But I think he helps with spacing. I think he'll help somebody with somebody like Amen. I think, you know, him and Alpi with the two-man game will benefit. So I think he helps everyone else in that offense improve. But certainly, just because you have Durant, it can't be like, all right, here's our offense. Give him the ball. Let's get out of the way. And I am, even though he and Ime have that history and they get along well, I am curious. I was just trying to find the number. Durant has had something like 7 coaches outside of Golden State, right? He averages almost like a coach a year lately. And him and Ime, they have that relationship. But you know what? Steve Nash was also kind of picked as their guy there in Brooklyn, and that didn't work out. So I am just curious, if we were to talk about concerns with this, I am curious with how they do mesh over a period of time, even with their history and the fact that they do seem to like each other.
I think KD is all about ball, man. Like that dude just cares about basketball, as evidenced by the fact that he don't brush his hair. He don't care about nothing besides playing basketball. I say that kind of as a joke, but really and truly. And that's a dude who loves basketball. I think he's one of those guys that if you have some reasonable and respectable say, especially in basketball, he's listening. And I think that that's something that Ime absolutely does. 8-3-2, Cam Whitmore can shoot the ball. He can defend. He just needs that playing time. I hope that he demonstrates the maturity to stay on the court, because I think that's really been the thing at times. Sometimes he gets blinders. Sometimes you can see it where he kind of he goes into business for himself, and that's where Ime will kind of take him out. And that's another thing. I hope that that KD shows up as a big bro as well. Like, mm-hmm. shows up not just as a dude who can do things offensively, but shows up as a dude that's been around this league and can give those guys an additional level of that maybe Dylan Brooks, maybe Steven Adams, maybe Fred VanVleet couldn't, from a different level of perspective of a superstar as well. But, yeah, man, we're looking forward to what this is. There's a lot of time. In fact, the deal hasn't even been fully announced and consummated, but the KD to the Rockets, the possibilities now become a different level of endless from where the Rockets had been after what was a phenomenal season. They were looking to just make the playoffs. They end up as the second-best team in the West. Now they have the second-best odds to win next year's NBA playoffs. Man, what a time it is to be in Houston in basketball. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, this is the time where we typically do our lunchtime confessions, and we will do those next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, let's do some confessions. It's weird for me to start. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not used to this, but I think I might need to give up wearing like joggers and shorts as frequently as I do, because I just recently got a new pair of like earbuds, fancy earbuds. I got the Samsung ones because I have a Samsung, but you know, that's the thing.
You mean you wouldn't get no AirPods?
Nah, I feel like if I'm gonna spend the amount of money that it costs to get these things, I want to have that cross compatibility. I need all of the same brands. No, not even. It's not even about the brand. I need all the functionality, and that's because they make the brands together to have all the additional little features in there. I'm like, I need all the features. I need all of them if I'm gonna spend this kind of money. So I did it this weekend. I spent the money, got this, on Saturday is when I picked it up. Right. Yesterday, I was at the apartment all day except for one place that I went. I went and got a burger. It's a really good burger. I didn't get to enjoy the burger because I got back home and I had the earbuds in my ear, but I get back to the apartment, sitting down eating the burger, and I want to take the earbuds out and put them in the case. Can't find the case. I'm looking it's a one bedroom apartment, mind you. Like, so there's, if you want to call them four rooms, there's four rooms, right? There's kitchen, living room, bathroom, bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Four rooms. I done turned all four of these rooms upside down looking for this case, because if I don't find this case, what will have happened is I bought a new pair of earbuds that cost me over $200, and I got one charge out of them because I can't put them back in the case that I don't have. Right? Like, I was about to be really, really mad. I mean, I went into the car multiple times. I drove back to the burger place.
Dang.
Because I was like, man, I need to find this. Thankfully, many hours later, after the basketball game concluded, because I was like, I can't find it.
Yeah.
I went back into my car and I like dug all the way under
in
the
seats. In between
seat.
The seats.
Not in between, under the seats, where I was able to find the case.
Yeah.
But that was just a moment for me where I was like, letting pens fall out of my pocket is one thing. Losing chapsticks is one thing. Sometimes my keys falling out of my pocket, that's a problem. It was the, I'm about to lose $200 on day one of having a thing that made me go, I think I need pockets with zippers. Or just like deep pockets.
Yeah.
Or I need to just get like a crossbody, like one of these bags to carry around. But I think I got to get out of the game of keeping stuff in the pockets of joggers and shorts and stuff. I think at age 33, that's probably too much. And I can't, I'm done with losing things like this.
Very relatable. I deal with that all the time because I also wear a lot of shorts and joggers. And yeah, every time I sit down in my car, my phone, my wallet, whatever, it falls out. And then you have to try to wedge your hand in between the seats or even go under. Sometimes you have to get out of the car and look underneath to find it. Very annoying. So I get that. I don't know what those type of headphones are like, but even like the AirPods are annoying in the sense of I thought I lost mine a couple weeks ago, and the find your iPhone stuff, it only, at least maybe I don't have mine set up properly, it shows you the last time you were using them.
Yes, dude. Like,
that is no help. It's where the are worst. They right now?
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Okay, so if it's open, I can find it. Sure. But why do you think I left it open?
Yeah.
You should be able to track exactly where is that, where you dropped it. It's funny you brought this up, Reggie, because right now I'm wearing jogging pants, and I thought I lost my case.
See?
Yeah, so I had my headphones in. I'm going to my desk, and then I'm like, where's my case? I'm like, oh, man, I hope I ain't dropping in the parking lot. So I'm like, let me go right back where I came from. Let me backtrack. And it was right there by the door. So I'm just like, man, it was just.
Oh, so they had actually fallen out of your pocket.
It did fall out of my pocket. So I'm like, man, at least it didn't get too far because I thought I was, you know, I got on the elevator. I did a nice little walk in the parking lot and all that stuff. And, you know, cars be flying. I thought it was over, man.
Yeah, man. So things are going to change in my life is basically the point. And it wasn't off of no basketball game or none of the momentous things that happened this weekend. It was just by the fact that I felt like I lost $200 in a single day. And I didn't, thank God.
But you got your momentum back.
All right.
I always use the confessions as just like an opportunity to rant, I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
My confession, I suppose, is I don't get all the White Lotus love. I don't know if you guys are White Lotus fans.
I'm not.
Nah,
I can't say I am.
I heard of it, but I ain't dip into it.
I've seen all three seasons, all right?
And oh!
I actually just finished season three, and I actually liked it. It was probably my favorite of the three seasons, even though it's the one that seems to be most critically panned. Like, people seem to dislike it the most. But my point with White Lotus that I just don't get, and it's very annoying, it's like the AJ Blue Ball of TV.
Wow.
In the sense of, they always build up all of this quote-unquote tension and suspense that leads nowhere. And they use this dramatic music underneath because it's always like Tropical Destination. So season one was in Hawaii, and it was always the bongos. And the bongos are going the whole time. And because of the music, it makes you feel on edge, like, oh, something's going to happen. And they even try to build it up, and then it doesn't happen. And it goes on all season long. You're waiting for something, and I just don't get it. I don't know what people enjoy. Season one gave me like anxiety because the bongos are going the whole time and you're waiting like, oh, something's about to happen when he goes through this door. Oh, no, it's just a normal hotel room. Why do they have the dramatic bongos going the whole season? And I actually like season three, but same thing. They build up all of these. You think something's crazy about to happen? Oh, no, actually, here's a swerve. Nothing happened at all in the entire scene or episode until the last episode. There's always some drama, but it's the whole season. They use this stupid dramatic music to build up. If you watched this show with no music, it would be the most boring, dull show ever. It'd be like our normal lives. Just us coming here and nothing you're just expecting something because the boom, 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 and the bongos are going the whole time and nothing happens. It is infuriating.
It's funny you mention the bongos because when you hear bongos, some stuff about to go down, man. You usually hear it in like a drug movie or something like that. That means somebody about to get murked.
Yep. Yeah, I do love that you're like, hey, man, a TV is edging me. That's crazy. But you know what I thought of when you were talking about like them using this music to get you to feel something? Funny enough, I started thinking more about like these sitcoms that are not actually funny.
Uh-huh.
But they have the laugh track.
Yes.
And I realized that I might be ruining things for people because it ruined it for me. Like there's some sitcoms that I was like, yeah, this is fine. It's not particularly good, but it's entertaining. And then I realized that, no, it's actually not entertaining. It's just a laugh track that's conditioned you to think that something is funny. If some of these shows, if you took the laugh track out of it, you'd be like, this is terrible. And the one that I always feel confident doing this with, because I'm okay slandering this show in particular, is, I was about to say, and I forgot, what's the one with the nerds, whatever? Big Bang Theory.
Thank you.
It's terrible.
Thank you.
That show is awful.
I never liked that show. That's my wife loved that show.
That show was terrible. If you're just like listening to what they're saying and you know, you hear the laugh track and you can acknowledge, oh, that's not actually, like, it's not actually people laughing. That's somebody pushing a button, making, you realize that none of the things that they say is actually funny. All of it is terrible.
I love it. I went on a whole Big Bang Theory rant on Friday on The Drive, so I love to hear this. But yeah, you could actually go on YouTube and find clips of the show Friends without the laugh track.
Let's get spicy.
Yeah.
To your point, yeah, it's very like, oh, this is what people found as like the second best show of the 90s. It's not good.
Pivot! Whatever that scene
was.
Pivot.
Yeah,
pivot.
The couch. Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So yesterday when the Kevin Durant news broke and we all on social media reacting to it and stuff like that, I got to confess, man, I feel like I think I'm an old man when it comes to this. So my old man self go in the house. I'm looking at the reaction online and all that stuff. I turn to ESPN. I'm like, oh, they got to be talking about this, right?
Oh, no.
Man, nobody on TV was talking about this trade at all. And I understand, maybe, I don't know if it's because he's older and who give a damn and ain't no point of blowing up programming for this. But I was so irritated, man. I'm like, dang, I'm like, what happened? I even went to ESPN News and I can't even tell you. I can't tell you last time I went to ESPN News.
I didn't know it still existed.
What do they program on,
man,
ESPN News?
Man, I don't even know what was on. It wasn't no damn news. And I'm just like, man, I went to ESPN. It was a cornhole convention or whatever. They was sitting there playing cornhole. I went to ESPN 2. It was a documentary. I'm like, you know what? Let me go to NBA TV. And it's been a minute since I went to NBA TV willingly like that. Man, they were showing some NBA Finals game, some old NBA Finals game. I'm like, man, ain't nobody gonna break in and talk about the trade. I was so irritated, man. I kind of miss those days at ESPN where you could just turn on and it's an anchor right there, just going to different reporters saying, "Hey, let's react to this." I'm like, it was none of that. I'm like, hey, I guess I gotta stay on social media, just roll with the punches, wait till the NBA Finals come on to hear somebody react to it. But I was a little bit irritated from that.
No, I think that rightfully so. Like, that was supposed to be the allure of 24-hour, like, sports programming, is that if there was something happening, you could hear or see about the thing that was happening. And now you got 24-hour programming, but it's not actually serving the purpose of that. So it's like, yeah, would you like to look, watch this documentary about some drug lords that were impacting soccer in South America? Yeah, sure, but I kind of want to hear about this thing that's happening right now with my favorite team.
And see, that's what I loved about, and this just happened recently with the Luka trade, because I want to say it was a game. It was a Saturday night, first of all, and I don't know if it was an NBA game on during that time, but I turned right to ESPN and they reacting to it. Like, they were on pretty much all night at that point, just talking about it. I love that type of stuff, man. And I'm not the really go to ESPN and watch all day person, but I'm like, I like that type of stuff. When news break, you run right to whatever outlet you go to.
Yeah.
And it's a little frustrating when you sitting there going to that outlet and they playing cornhole.
Cornhole. Yeah, a lot of people, or a few people on the text line, are saying because it's Houston. If Durant was traded somewhere like New York, they'd be talking about it. Do you think that plays in at all?
Yeah, I thought, I didn't really think of the Houston part. I thought because maybe Kevin Durant, maybe some feel like he's a little washed, maybe because he's 37 years old.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, to kind of separate it from the Luka trade, is we all knew it was going to happen. We were just kind of waiting on the day that Kevin Durant was going to happen. Luka kind of came out of nowhere. So, yeah, man, I was a little irritated, man.
I wonder how much of it, though, is also like, how many people do you actually have at the ready to jump up and do a live broadcast, especially when you have live, you know, kind of live programming that you're covering when the NBA, and that maybe took all your attention. But that probably speaks to the ways in which we don't have that the apparatus that used to be like ready to go with the newsroom full of folks at any given point,
right,
for actual breaking sports news.
Not to be such a lame like company man, but that's what people always say is the positive still of radio. Like 100%. Podcasts aren't live, and TV, like you said, it's all programmed and you're not necessarily going to cut in or people aren't there. But radio, especially sports talk, there's usually somebody live at the microphone all day that can give you the reactions and the news as they happen. So.
Yeah, and that's why we appreciate you rocking with us here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Those are our lunchtime confessions. Coming up next, it is a Monday coming off of quite a weekend. Who are the winners? Who are the losers of the weekend? 713-572-4610. We'll break that down next. All right, let's get into the winners and losers of the weekend. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, you can get on the Mo Cameron Injury Lawyer live streams, both on the YouTube page and the Twitch. Let us know who you thought was a winner or a loser on the weekend. Of course, the obvious one that we've been talking about all day long, I think the Rockets. The Rockets were the winners in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. One, but then also, more importantly, they win when it comes to the actual deal itself. It's very evident. The Suns wanted, and the reporting was, that they wouldn't do a deal without acquiring one of the young, talented players on this team, Tari Eason or Jabari Smith Jr. They don't get that. Obviously, as a team that has not been good and probably will not be good over the next year or two, they probably wanted to have some control over their own drafts again. They get the 10 pick this year, which is theirs, right, from them being bad this year, but they will not get their 2027 nor their 2029 picks back. Neither. The Rockets still hold on to that. Objectively, a victory for the Rockets, a big winner on the weekend, the Rockets adding Kevin Durant.
Yeah, huge victory. I mean, to me, there's no downside here. I don't know what you don't like. And a lot of Rocket fans were anti bringing in Kevin Durant because I think the concern was he'd have to, you know, trade away the farm for him. And they certainly did not do that. So we've seen a lot of people that, a lot of listeners and Rocket fans that have reached out on the text line and on social media and YouTube, whatever it might be, and say that, it wasn't necessarily for the Durant trade originally, but because they gave up nothing, I like it. So I don't know how, if you're a Rockets fan, if you couldn't be, how you could not be ecstatic today, and what you might still dislike about this, or what concerns you might have, because you got Durant, you kept the future, you didn't have to give up much. It's a win-win. I don't know what there is to be negative about this move. I think it's great. I think it's exciting, and it's a great job by the Rockets to get this done and not have to give up very much at all to bring in your closer now, which is what you needed most.
I feel like a loser on the weekend. Even though they won the series, I think Jose Altuve in particular and the ability to play him at second base. Like we saw another one of those errors, or as Lopez would call them, hidden errors, come up for him this weekend as well. It feels like they can't keep playing him at second base. Like there's a level of confirmation, even though earlier on in the season, in a limited scope of him at second base, it felt like, oh, well, actually, you look at the outs above average and they're, you know, actually downright passable. They look pretty good. You're seeing the reasons why. Yeah, they were keen to move him off a second, get him in a space where hopefully you feel a bit better about him defensively, where he's been okay in left field and been able to use his bat. The second base, especially as it's ticked up with, you know, injuries, feels like you're seeing more and more of why he needed to move off of that space.
Yeah, getting a little more exposed. I thought you were going to talk about the base running, because there was another base running gaffe this weekend from Altuve.
That is true as well.
But yeah, I'm with you on the second base. And look, and Dubon's swinging a hot bat right now as well. Dude. So you can just plug him into second base consistently for now and feel good about it. We'll see how long this hot streak lasts. But no problem playing him there every day. And move Altuve out to left field, where statistically he's rated as the worst outfielder, but he's also had the fewest balls hit to him. So it's kind of like when you try to hide your terrible defender in a zone defense in basketball. Same idea. Get Altuve out of the infield and try to hide him out there in left field where far fewer balls are hit to him. But yeah, I'm with you on the whole second base thing.
What? There's nothing you can do about the base running at this point, right? Like,
no. If it hasn't improved by now, I don't think it will. In fact, it'll probably just continue to get worse as you continue to get a step slower, and maybe it has gotten even a little worse. But yeah, it's funny. You know, I always say everyone always has a blind spot. We all do as humans, and I guess for Altuve, as great of a player as he has always been, that's just always been hit, he is not a good base runner, and it's funny because he's so good at just about every other aspect of the game. But I don't know what he's thinking half the time.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing is, like, he has the pieces. He has the groceries to be a good base runner. Yeah. He's quick. I mean, you would think also being long would help you, but I mean, he is small, which I imagine makes him a little bit tougher to tag. But he's not like a dumb baseball player by any means. You would think that all those things come together in a way to make a good base runner, and it just doesn't. But the bat is, it really is. We're just leaning on one, obviously, who he is in his stature, not literally, but his stature as a player on this organization. But then just what his bat brings, like that is who Jose Altuve is at this point. You know, isolated for this Astros organization, he's just a really, really good bat at this point.
Yeah, good bat. Obviously, good leader.
Yes,
and
agreed.
A good assistant manager, apparently, with some of the changes he's proposed to this lineup or the alignment and everything. But yeah, that's what it is now. He's not there for his fielding. He's not there for his base running. He's there for some big hits and to help lead these younger guys.
All right, some other winners and losers on the weekend. I feel like one of the winners is me being able to call this dude by his nickname, Big Dumper. Big Dumper. Cal Raleigh made a little bit of history this weekend, becoming let me make sure I get this right, because I don't want to get this wrong when I talk about this, but he now has 31 home runs as a switch hitter, which I believe is the most or the fastest to that number by a switch hitter at this point in a season. Like, he's been incredibly good leading the league with home runs. And I would have never thought one, a catcher, but that catcher in particular would be doing something of that stature.
Yeah, it's impressive, especially because he obviously plays for the Mariners and plays in that ballpark. You know, it's funny because early in the season, there was such that uproar about the torpedo bats that the Yankees were using, and they hit all those home runs in a weekend series, and then it died down and no one really talked about torpedo bats anymore. But Cal Raleigh uses one. And so I don't know how big of a role that plays in the fact that his career high was 34 homers before this season, and now he's already at 31, and we're not even in July. I mean, he's on pace to hit 60. He's on pace to double his home run. He's having a Brady Anderson season where a guy just, like during the steroid era, Brett Boone, these guys like randomly would hit 45 homers. Like, where the heck did this come from? He's going to double his home run production. So I'm curious how much of it is that bat, or what has led to this remarkable power surge here in 2025. He's always been a good hitter, but I mean, this year he's just, even the batting average is much higher. He's just having an incredible year.
Yes, he is. And to make sure that I clean myself up, he has, a day after, mind you, he set the record for home runs by a catcher before the All-Star break. This was most home runs by a switch hitter before All-Star break is what he's broke by hitting the 30th. He now has 31. Yeah, man, it's been wild, and I like what you're doing there. Go ahead and test him for everything. Drug test, blood test. Go ahead and give me a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
Give me a litmus test. All of them. Give me a Scantron test, all of them for him. I want to see what's happening there, because I don't care about the Mariners. Go ahead and make sure that all that is good. And if there's something awry, put him on the bench for a good 80 games. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Some other winners and losers on the weekend. Losers, College World Series umpires. Did you see this? Well, shout out a winner, LSU. They win the College World Series for baseball for the men. It was a 5-3 victory. Was that yesterday? All the days running together. Over the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina in game two. However, in the bottom of the first inning in Omaha, the umpire ejected the Chants head coach, Kevin Schnall, after there was a strike to the infielder, a strike thrown, and Schnall gestured three fingers at Campos, the umpire. So apparently what had happened was Schnall said that he had missed, a warning had come from the umpire first and foremost, saying that they were arguing, the Chanticleers were arguing balls and strikes, right? Which, again, that feels like that's within the range. Chenault came out with a little bit of fire, and those three fingers was him saying, you've missed three calls, which that's that. Look, you're getting a little aggressive there now, ain't you? You're getting a little aggressive. Now, when Chenault ran onto the field to argue a little bit more, second base umpire Kellen Levy stumbled and fell, and then Chenault was ejected for that because supposedly of that contact, which wasn't quite contact. Dude just fell.
Yeah. Yeah, it was embarrassing. I mean, it's pretty fitting because these umpires are usually not the most athletic guys and not the most coordinated. It was pretty funny to see. But yeah, it's lame. Look, it's the biggest game of the season. It's the College World Series. You can't toss the guy that early, especially for these reasons. He didn't push the umpire over. And even if he had a problem, like I always hate when umpires are very sensitive, where if you get a call wrong, you got to let the guy give you a hard time. Or even if you get the calls right, like what he did with holding up the three fingers and saying, that to me is so mild-mannered. He didn't say any bad words. He didn't make it personal. As a coach or a manager, you should be able to voice your opinion and argue a little bit. Once you get personal, if you use certain words, if you get your name calling, I get it. But I think this was like, this turned into an ump show in the biggest game of the year, and I thought it was kind of embarrassing. They also threw out one of the assistant coaches, yeah, too. It was ridiculous.
This for arguing balls and strikes.
Yeah, it's the biggest game of the year. Like, you have to have a longer leash and let these guys stay in the game until the manager or coach in college baseball really crosses that line and you have no choice but to toss them. I thought this was too sensitive.
Yeah, 100%. A hair trigger, yeah, umpire is one of the most annoying things in baseball and a lot of sports because, again, there's so much of this, and this probably doesn't fall under the purview of unwritten rules, but there's like a level of respect for the game that is absolutely required. But the way that it's sometimes demanded, especially in a place where, yeah, you're in a position to require some criticism here or to maybe come across some criticism here, I think you got to be a little bit tougher to deal with that. And I understand sometimes it can get ridiculous and abusive. This didn't feel like that by any stretch. This was a decent blight on what had been a pretty good College World Series, a great run by the Shanta Clears to get into the space. Somebody on the text line mentioned it. This has felt very much like an SEC kind of dominated space. Of course, LSU ultimately wins it, but it was amazing that the Shanta Clears had even gotten to this space, and it felt like, I'm sure to a lot of Shanta Clears fans, that they got robbed in this space. Speaking of it, a couple more winners and losers for the road here. Obviously, the injury that Tyrese Haliburton sustained, yeah, I imagine hurts a lot of Pacers fans. I would also, though, like to posit from that game that ESPN was a loser. How many replays of Halliburton's injury do we need? In addition to that, did you see at the end of the game, TJ McConnell, who, you know, had a pretty good series in his own right? You mentioned the turnovers. That was bad. But, I mean, he was doing a lot in trying to get, mm-hmm, to the rim. He was very heartbroken. His mom was, consoling him in the tunnel. And she had to shoo away ESPN cameras that were trying to follow him after that, and just kind of broadcast the sadness. Why do we do that at sporting events? Like, really hone in on, oh, look at this guy crying and put this. Like, why do we feel the need to do that? I hate that so much.
We love they got it to have the emotion of it, both good and bad. And, you know, it kind of goes along with the whole, if it bleeds, it leads. Like, the losing locker room is usually the more interesting locker room, unfortunately. But, yeah, that was an interesting one. You probably pushed the envelope a little too far on that. We didn't need those images.
And finally, shout out to the U.S. men's national team. They got a victory in their third of three group stage matches in Gold Cup against Haiti. They came a little bit more difficult than they wanted to, but that puts them as the winner of their group. Shout out to Mexico. They also are the winners of their group. So the winner is Houston, because those two teams would not meet unless they met in the final, which will be at NRG Stadium, which I imagine would be an absolute banger and is absolutely what I'm rooting for. The two biggest clubs in, yes, this particular, you know, nations in this particular matchup, getting U.S. Mexico in that stadium will be a delight. So rooting for that, mm-hmm, as well. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to the Kevin Durant trade. With this trade, with the way that the Rockets are now being considered as the second best odds holders to win the NBA championship next year, which of the Houston teams has the best opportunity to win the championship now? 713-572-4610. Is it the Texans? Is it the Astros? Or is it the Rockets? Let's talk about it next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.